Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Side Hustles and Stuff podcast. This is episode 26. My name is Yuri, and I'm joined by Keishi.
Hey, Yuri, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm good. What are you drinking?
I have with me, let's see. I do send the coffee black from Natural Lawson. I'm just reading it. It's like a Japanese coffee. I do send the one I have fruit punch by Mitsuya. I guess it's sparkling water, as you would say. How about you?
Oh, nice. I have a Mitsuya Cider Zero Strong.
Zero Strong?
Because it's like a zero calorie version of Mitsuya Cider with extra carbonation.
Is that what makes it strong?
Yeah, I think that's what the strong means.
Okay. It's always nice with dealing with Japanese drinks because they have some odd names. Strong, Style Free, Zero, X.
Yeah.
It's like, you know how they name consoles, gaming consoles? Like Xbox 360. Like they'll add an X or a 360 or something, or yeah. Black or titanium. All right. And so this is episode 26. And you know what 26 is?
What is it?
That's a great question. 26 is the age at which you can no longer be drafted into the United States military if you're a United States citizen.
I guess that's good. I guess
it's comforting for
It's comforting for some to read. It's also the number of letters in alphabet.
You took my answer. Yes, it is. And 26th, the 26th number in the alphabet is the letter Z.
All right, and now I have a difficult question then.
Yes,
you might not know the answer. How do you call a structure that has 26 sides?
It's like it's rhombus and hectahedron or something. I know it involves those two words.
Yeah, I forgot what it was. I know we found it. A rhombic cube octahedron has 26 faces. Thanks to Wikipedia for this very valuable piece of knowledge.
Knowledge. You know what they say? Knowledge is what gets you the Lamborghini in your garage.
Oh, I thought the prerequisite was having like 100 books on bookshelves. Along the sides of the garage.
Oh, that's true. But I thought knowledge leads to Lamborghinis. But if anyone's not sure what we're talking about, we're, of course, referencing the good old Ty Lopez and the good old advertisement where he has a Lamborghini in his garage. But more importantly, he has knowledge. And speaking of knowledge, Keishi, today we're about to drop some knowledge upon the listener in the Side Hustle section. And what are we talking about today?
Yeah, so today we're... I guess we're kind of meta. We're talking about how to get your knowledge that you need for side hustling and how you can learn to side hustle. And I think this podcast is a good place to start, but there's also tons of other resources. So we'll be talking about those. But why don't we start first with, like you suggested, just is this even something that can be learned?
That's a good question. I think it can be learned. Well, I guess, yeah. It can be learned, but the reason I brought this question up was because I think someone out there looking in, from the outside looking in, they're wondering, can I do it too? Will I be able to do it too? The answer is yes, but I think that the learning process is not exactly a pick up a book and go learn about it and then you can do it, if you know what I mean.
I guess it can be kind of split into three parts, I think. And one is just the baseline. Like everybody has some sort of natural level of talent, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something you can't cheat, right? Like I think that's like genes and stuff like that. And then I think there's like experience and knowledge that kind of builds over time. So let's say you're 25. So there's a lot of things that you learned even without knowing that you learned them that are relevant to your side hustles or to whatever it is that you're doing. And you kind of learn it slowly spread out over decades, over years, like a long-term experience sort of thing. And then I think there's a way to kind of accelerate it and to just consume knowledge quickly and kind of get up to speed so that you can get stuff done. And I think at the end of the day, the results you get are kind of the combination of these three plus some portion of luck, I would say, and effort, of course. But yeah, today we can spend 25 years here, and we also can't change who the listeners are or who we are. So I think we're going to focus on those kind of quote unquote quick fixes that you can actually go out there and whatever your current baseline is, that you can take it and take it to the next level.
Yeah, agreed. So I guess long story short, it is something that can be learned, but you probably learn more of it through doing than actual book learning.
Yeah, exactly. That is not to say, though, that it's not important to book learn.
And there are three types of things that you can learn about side hustles, right?
Yeah, I think kind of broadly speaking, at least from how I learned this sort of stuff and I think a lot of other people learn it. I think there's kind of three big buckets, three big categories of learning that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one is mindset. So this is kind of your typical guru stuff, like, hey, you can do it, and set your goals and kind of stretch yourself and that sort of thing. Because I believe that's something that you can actually learn to an extent. Like, I think a person has a natural drive, but at the same time, kind of immersing yourself, learning about that and like reading other people's stories and things like that, I feel like it can help you drive you further. And then two, what we have here is just tutorials. So that's kind of the nitty gritty of getting things done. It's like, how do I set up WordPress, or how do I change the color of this button from red to green, or like really step-by-step instructions to whatever the task at hand is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's of course very important. And arguably that's the one that's the easiest to learn. And then three, I think what's worth mentioning is, I call it here income reports. I guess you can also call it success stories, but, yeah, in my case, I think those were really important in just kind of having me keep going. And it's kind of those sort of things where you go like, all right, if this guy could do it, then I can do it too. Or all right, so if I do this long enough, then I might be able to reach this point. And it kind of gives you something pretty specific and solid to aim for. So I think, yeah, so income reports, success stories, case studies, and things like that.
Yeah, I agree. Like all of these things you can learn. I think it's funny, in my own experience, I don't think I did much of any of this.
Yeah, I think it's also good that we're talking about this, you and I, because I think our stories are kind of different. I think you kind of just happened to stumble upon your blogging success, or whatever you want to call it.
I like to think, do you know Michael Cera, the actor? He was in Arrested Development, Juno, I think. What is that? Superbad? Basically, sorry, go ahead.
I don't know. I was just about to say that I haven't heard of the movie even.
Basically, he's always a super awkward character in most movies that he plays, most shows that he plays. And like, I don't know where I read it, but there was a joke about him where the only reason why he became an actor was he accidentally stumbled onto the set and the director forced him to act. And he's like, because he was so awkward, he was like, oh, okay. He just went along with it and he could. And that's how he accidentally fell into acting. And I kind of see myself, I'm sure I'm awkward in some ways, but minus all of that, I see myself kind of like that with my side hustle. It just kind of happened. I didn't like will it into reality. I wasn't born thinking I want to do something like this. I think it just kind of popped up like that along the way.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I guess in my case, I always wanted to just do something more entrepreneurial. And then I kind of did my aviation blog, which I never did for money in the beginning. And then that kind of started making some money. So I was like, oh, okay, maybe I can take all these things and apply it to something else and build even something even better.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I started diving into the different kind of resources we'll be talking about here. And I guess all of them had a pretty solid impact on where I am today and what I'm doing today.
Well, I would say I definitely, there was a point in time where I got bitten by the entrepreneurial bug that I kind of wanted to do this at the same time too. But I don't know how conscious I was with the actual push of it, or if it just happened and because I thought about it in the past, I let it happen, or I just followed through with it. I don't know. It's like, I'm not too heady or analytical in the thinking of this stuff. I'm just like, it just happened. All right. So that aside, we have the six ways to learn how to side hustle. So there are six resources that most people go through before they launch their own side hustle or while they're launching it to guide them along the way.
And also while they're actually doing this, their side hustle, just kind of level up their knowledge on the go and keep up with it.
The first resource that we have here is blogs. In other words, learning how to have a side hustle from other bloggers that blog about this stuff.
Yeah, I think these are the infamous blogs about blogging, which there is a lot of, but not all of them are good. In fact, I guess a lot of them are bad, and there's just a few that are really good. But personally, I think they're kind of the first source of learning for a lot of people, because you just Google something and a lot of times it's a blog that comes up first.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think they're good. If it's the right blog that's written by somebody that's actually done it, I think it's one of the best ways, because you can kind of take it slow. You can like see somebody's success here. You can learn about this tactic there. You can learn about that in some other blog.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like a good place to kind of start exploring this universe before diving deeper, because it gives you like good overview of different things in fairly quickly consumable chunks of content.
Are there any disadvantages of using blogs to learn how to side hustle?
That's a good question. I think it might Yeah, I guess it's kind of the flip side of that, right? Like, because they tend to be pretty short and pretty focused on one topic, one, they might not cover them comprehensively, and they might be leaving out some important stuff if you just take one article rather than reading like a bunch of articles on the same topic. And also, I guess it's kind of pretty easy to become a victim of like a, some people call it the shiny object syndrome, where like you read this blog post and this guy tells you, hey, go out there and start a blog. And then you read the next blog post and the guy tells you, hey, go out there and start a YouTube channel. And another guy tells you, hey, go out there and start a dropshipping business.
Or TikTok.
Or TikTok or Facebook or Pokemon cards or baseball cards, whatever it is, flipping sneakers. And yeah, and it can kind of, you can kind of get in a position where you feel like, oh, whatever I started yesterday is not good enough today because some other guy told me that I should be doing XYZ instead. So you can kind of find yourself running in circles, just kind of dipping into different things, but never sticking with them long enough to see them through to some sort of success. I guess that's what I'd say are the disadvantages. What do you think? Do you think there's other advantages or disadvantages to this way?
The advantage, I remember in a previous podcast, you talked about looking up to people who are maybe just a few steps above you. And I think that is always advantageous, whether it's through blogs or not. But since we're talking about blogs, then it's going to be blogs. You can learn from someone who's just a step ahead of you and reading about their process, because you can easily apply what they've took to your own process because you guys are not far apart. That aside, disadvantages, like my biggest contention with reading, and you know I'm a big reader, my biggest contention with reading is that it's very easy to go on a reading spree, I guess also the shiny object syndrome too, and read as much as you want about a topic without actually ever getting started on a topic or deciding. You know, you end up walking away knowing a whole lot of things about how to start a side hustle, how to run a website, blah, blah, blah. But you don't actually have one, another one of your own. I remember when I started doing affiliate marketing first, someone commented on I had a picture of like the Amazon earnings report for fun.
Yeah.
And someone commented on that saying, that's cool. I read about that, you know, and it's like, okay, you read about affiliate marketing, but what's the point of, sure, I guess, fine. You can read about it. You can know about it, but like, it's kind of empty if you read about it and you walk away doing nothing about it. And maybe they're not born, you know, they're not interested in becoming an affiliate marketer per se, but going back to, going back to that point of too much reading and not enough action is bad. So I would say that's another disadvantage. And the other one is like, people, and this will again apply to all the content that we talk about today. People will put out blog content for the most minute, trivial, tiny little things and blow them up to epic proportions. For example, how to have a picture, how to post a picture on Pinterest and have like a 2,000 word article, like the master guide of how to post a picture on Pinterest. Whereas like, maybe it's good for them because Google ranks them and now this page ranks on, you know, on the first page and they earn money from it. But from you as a learner, you really don't need to waste much time on this thing. So there are, I would say quality, you know, quality is another big thing. In this case, you're learning from marketers who probably are more interested in selling you stuff rather than teaching you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great point, especially the stuff that you mentioned about just reading too much and never putting it into action.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that applies to pretty much everything that we'll be talking here, which is just like, you can just consume the content. You have to put it into action because like otherwise it's useless. Like, what is it good for knowing about affiliate marketing if you don't actually put it into action?
Yeah.
Or if you don't reach a conclusion that it's not for you and try something else, but then don't binge read it. And I guess that really depends on the personality and also kind of the mindset of whoever's reading it. Because I think it can go either way. And you can read like 20 articles on something and you can feel like, okay, now I know enough. Or you can read 20 articles and with each of them saying slightly different things, you just get confused and you feel like you don't know enough and you don't have the right answer. So you just keep searching for the right answer.
Yeah.
But the right answer is that there's no right answer.
Yeah. That's a hard one to deal with.
Yeah. So I think like in that case, it can be more confusing than something that's more structured than a blog post.
Hmm. Do you have any favorite blogs, by the way?
Yeah, so actually, I think a lot of my learning in the beginning, when I started to kind of get into blogging and into side hustling, was from a lot of different blogs, and I'm sure just like tens of thousands of other people. I learned a lot from Smart Passive Income by Pat Flynn, although I don't think it's as good as it used to be. But in the beginnings, it was really helpful, and like he posted a bunch of different case studies and a lot of good tutorials and stuff like that. I also pretty much read all the articles on Pro Blogger, run by an Australian guy who's been blogging for probably for like 2 decades.
By the way, we don't have Australia on our list of country of listeners, list of countries. Just a quick fact.
We got to fix that.
We need to fix that.
So if anybody has Australian friends, please share it with them. Yeah, back to the blogs. Some of the ones that I follow to this day are like Fatstack's blog. So that's one that I started reading fairly recently. And the reason I enjoy it is because the guy writes more of a freeform stuff, you could say, I guess. Like rather than going after keywords or things like that, he just kind of dumps what's on his mind. And it's usually more like opinion pieces rather than like how to find the best keyword or those sort of technical things.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one called Yes, YEYS.com, which I believe it's an Israel-based lady that's running the blog. And she's running, I think, 8 or 9 or however many content sites. They're making like $20,000 a month now or something along those lines. And 2 years ago, she was at like $1,000 or a couple thousand. And she always posts really detailed income reports. So I really enjoy going through those and kind of learning what she's done, how her income has evolved. And I guess like personally, I really enjoy those. Like if I can see how much somebody's making out of their blocks, kind of serves as a good guideline. And like, if I know that this is the strategy they're following and this is how much articles they're publishing and this is how much they're making, then I have some sort of benchmark to compare myself against. And it feels good when you're doing better than some of the people that post case studies out there. But at the same time, if you're doing worse than other case studies, it kind of drives you to work harder, publish more content more smartly. So that's some of my favorite types of content. How about you? Any blogs you read about blogging or something related side hustles?
Not so much nowadays. I think Neil Patel, the guy that does Uber Suggest, like I would check in on his blog every now and then, depending on what email he sent. Just like basically he does SEO. So if there's anything interesting about SEO, I'll check it out. Copy Blogger, I used to read a lot earlier in the day. I think they used to be really good back then, just like with Pat Flynn and Smart Passive Income. That was more so on the side of copywriting. I don't think I ever actually read much stuff on like how to start a blog, like a blog about how to start a blog or do a blog.
It's interesting. So you just kind of happened to stumble into blogging and then start a blog without knowing you're starting a blog.
Well, I knew I was, that's a good way to put it, but I knew I was starting a blog. I just never really like Googled how to blog a blog, you know, as a, your dog, I heard you blog. So I put a blog inside your blog so you can now blog while you blog. So I'm, yeah, cool. I've never done that to that extent. I'm not sure why. Maybe there is stuff for me to learn. I was more involved in doing it, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of an extreme person at times. Like either I'm in 100% consumption mode or I'm 100% production mode. And I know it's better to be 50-50, but I tend to veer between the two extremes.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, especially if somebody's just starting with side hustles, it should be kind of a curve where first you're learning a lot, then you're kind of starting to do it. And over time, you're spending less and less time learning and more time doing.
Hmm.
And like, I'm sure you feel pretty much the same way. But like at this point, I feel like I have a decently solid strategy in place. So rather than trying to kind of find the next shiny object, I'm just focusing on executing.
Yeah.
And like, I still read some of these blogs to kind of stay up to date and because I enjoy some of the content. But I definitely don't spend hours a day reading about how to blog and how to do keyword research and stuff like that, like I used to in the past.
Well, I would argue, spending hours. It makes sense if you're in full on curiosity mode, and you just want to discover as much as possible about the topic. But I think at that point, if you have hours, those hours probably be better used on actually building the blog than reading about it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like there's some amount of time that you have to put into learning, of course, but there is such a thing as too much.
All right. So we've covered blogs as a way to learn how to side hustle. Next up are books. You know, it's a bit of a ironic resource on the list because blogs are essentially online and books are physical form. But I think there's quite a bunch of books out there that have definitely promoted the idea of having your own side hustle. I see there's the 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss, for example.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that the nice thing about a book is you usually get a bigger picture, kind of a full picture of the topic. Now, I think the not so nice thing about books is that the moment they're printed, they're kind of out of date.
Yeah.
So when it comes to like doing a side hustle, doing dropshipping or doing blogging or something, like I feel like blogs and some of the other stuff we'll talk about later is much better for learning the actual tactics. But I think for like the mindset stuff and for just learning about how to run a business overall or how to how to take care of your finances and stuff like that, which I think is a really important part of side hustling if you kind of want to keep it sustainable. I feel like that's what books are pretty good for.
Yeah. Do you have any favorite books?
I guess everybody says this, but I read The 4-Hour Workweek quite a few years back, and I'm sure that had some influence. I just enjoy reading stories of different entrepreneurs. That has a lot of influence, I think. And you kind of realize that, like, it's a 10-year overnight success sort of thing with pretty much everything, or 20, 30-year overnight success.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we'll be talking about things to be aware of later on, but that's one of the most important things is, like, it rarely is a true overnight success, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's something that books can teach you. Richard Porter and any similar sort of personal finance book that kind of talks about the importance of assets versus income, I feel it's like a good starting point for kind of the mindset part of side hustling, because I think that's the other important part, right? Like, if you build a blog that makes $1,000 a month, you have also built an asset that you can sell for $36,000 versus if you get a $1,000 paycheck from your job, then that's all you get. So I feel like that's a pretty important distinction to learn.
Yeah.
And that's a concept that can kind of change the way you see things, you see money, you see time and stuff like that. But 4-Hour Workweek, Rich Dad Poor Dad, and I guess dozens of different business quote unquote self-help books. Mm-hmm. How about you? I see you have some biographies here.
Yeah. I read a lot of startup related books and a lot of Steve Jobs books in the past. And I was never kind of like reading them because, you know, all right, I want to start a side hustle, so I'm going to read these books. But I think they did shape my kind of mindset, because I was more so like interested on for
yeah.
In,
yeah.
I was more so interested in the entrepreneurial side of things, and that's why I was reading a lot of Steve Jobs, a lot of startup books. There was that Zappos book by the founder. There was another book on like why Israel has the most startups. I forget what it's called.
I think it was called Startup Nation.
Yeah. There's a lot. Like, I don't remember. Like, definitely I read over 10, 20 on the topic. But the whole point, I guess, what I was doing there was just, like, just trying to immerse myself in the stories of other founders and entrepreneurs. And I think that definitely kind of helped guide my behaviors and action into, like, yeah, maybe I should do a blog or whatever, or something creative where I can build something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think books are good for kind of the inspirational stuff and the mindset stuff. Not mm-hmm. so good for the actual execution stuff, unless you're in a more traditional business. In the online space, I think it's much better.
Plus, like,
to learn the actual.
It's much more fun to read a story than a how-to. So
yeah.
a book like that wouldn't be too popular. I'm sure maybe it would be popular amongst someone, but I would have a really hard time sitting through a how-to book.
Yeah, I think there are some good ones. Like I read Atomic Habits by James Clear, Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod, and they're pretty much how to sort of, and they were fun to read and kind of insightful, but yeah, a lot of how to books are not fun to read.
Yeah, it's the how to stuff is what you Google and you like skim it for 5 minutes until you figure out how to do something and then you leave it alone.
Yeah.
All right. So books as a way to learn a side hustle. Next up, podcasts. Can you learn how to side hustle through podcasts? And I think you most really definitely can.
Tell us.
With the Side Hustles and Stuff podcast, subscribe today if you're not subscribed.
Yeah, exactly. I think personally, I learned a lot from podcasts, whether it's stuff like Tropical MBA or Authority Hacker or EO Fire, Entrepreneur on Fire. And I think they're really good because you can listen to them everywhere. Like, I listen to podcasts a lot when I go for walks, for example, or like when I'm just cleaning my office or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because unlike video or unlike blogs, you don't have to focus on the visual, kind of listen in the background. Yeah. And I think there are some that are really fun because they bring on different people and different entrepreneurship stories. And there's others where they kind of go over the actual tactics, like Authority Hacker has a lot of good stuff on how to actually do blogging. But it's definitely one of my favorite methods of learning, especially about blogging and side hustling and business. But I also don't listen to as many podcasts now as I used to.
Yeah.
Just because I'm kind of execution.
I used to listen to a lot of Mixergy, like back in 2008, 2009, 2010, 11. That's where you would hear the young Gary Vee, I think.
Yeah.
He did an interview on his Wine Library TV back then. And because back then I was like, I was working for a startup, and yeah, it was more so a mindset thing. I was working for a startup. And I had a director of business development who was only like 4 or 5 years older than me, at which point I wondered, you know, why is he a director at such a young age? And maybe I could be one too. And it's where the whole thing started, you know, spinning in my head. And I started to just, maybe I should consider this. And so Mixergy, basically, it's a podcast on where they bring on entrepreneurs and just talk about their startup story. And like pretty much everyone has been on it. Like Ramit Sethi has been on it. Gary has been on it. Any internet online service for the most part, if you can think of it. I'm pretty sure they had the LinkedIn guy. Probably outside of Facebook, they had everyone. They definitely had Jack Dorsey for Twitter. So, but that was like, I listened to it more so not to like learn the nitty gritty of side hustles. Again, it was more so like immersing myself in the stories and listening to how other people did it.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the most important and best ways you can learn, I think. Like with all this content that's out there, those people are kind of like your mentors in a way. Like if you spend like a couple hours listening to someone talking about business, I feel like it can give you a lot.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, you might not notice it at the time, but I think over time it really compounds and kind of affects you.
Yeah, I think that was the case with me, and that's why I have this Michael Cera approach to learn to blogging or side hustling, because like it wasn't intentional for the most part. It was just like, it was so under the surface. Like I was just listening, yeah. I was inspired all the time. So by the time it came around to do it, I kind of just did it, but I didn't know how I did it. All right, so podcasts.
Yeah, I think a great way to learn. I recommend Side Hustles and Stuff, of course.
Me too.
On a serious note, Side Hustles and Stuff. but yeah, I learned a lot from Authority Hacker. Also a lot from Smart Passive Income Podcast. Already mentioned it in the blog section. Tropical MBA is really good. Entrepreneur on Fire. The guy did an interview a day for like a couple of years. So there's like 1,000 or 2,000 episodes you can go back and listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to that. Yeah, there's a lot of good podcasts. Mixergy, like you mentioned.
All right. So switching away from podcasts, next up we have YouTube. On the YouTube front, again, you know, I guess my answer is the same across the board for whatever. I have not consumed much material on how to learn how to side hustle, but nowadays I do follow like AppSumo and Noah Kagan, because I just tend to buy occasional products from AppSumo and related to like running the blog.
Yeah.
And they post content about, you know, how to run your own blog or what kind of tools you should use and blah, blah, blah. So that I watch from time to time, but not much else. How about you?
Yeah. I think YouTube's really good for like tutorial sort of stuff. So if you want to learn how to do A, then if it's something visual or if it's something where a screencast works, like a screen capturing works, that's where it's really good. And there's also a lot of good creators to just, I would just put them in the same bucket as podcasts and blogging, where we're just people that have actually done the stuff talking about their experiences. And I used to binge watch a channel called Income School. Those guys are pretty good at producing content about blogging. I think a lot of it is pretty elementary. So like over time it gets pretty boring, but I think it's a really good place to start. And in fact, perhaps if you're looking for one place to start and you're looking to start a blog, I'd probably recommend those guys. I used to watch a channel called Niche Site Project. Pretty good too. Nice guy. But again, the content's getting pretty repetitive. And I feel like that's the problem with a lot of these blogs about blogging and channels about blogging and podcasts about blogging, is there's only so many topics you can talk about.
Yeah.
So it's like you binge watch it for 3, 4, 5 hours and then it just starts repeating. So,
because eventually you outgrow it, you know, because their best audience are the beginners. And you can only be a beginner for so long.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it, actually. Yeah, you outgrow it. And I think that's where you get to the point where their case study results are kind of lower than your actual results. And that's probably where you know for certain that you've probably outgrown it. And I'd still keep following it for kind of the occasional update and like to skim through the articles and to see if there's anything interesting they post. But I definitely wouldn't spend hours just consuming all the content if you perform better than some of the case studies that these quote-unquote gurus present, teach you how to achieve, right?
Yeah, definitely agreed. I guess both of us aren't watching much YouTube then.
Yeah, nowadays I'm watching Pokemon card opening.
Yeah.
Comedies.
Comedy? What are you watching?
Just some of the late nights, whatever pops up on my...
You know, well, I guess I'm going to make this... I guess I'm going to make this comment now. I think as a side hustler or as a... how would you call it? Pre-side hustler before you actually started, or a prospective one, or someone aspiring one. Maybe aspiring is the better word.
Aspiring Side Hustler. That's a good blog name.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to start a blog about blogging.
Aspiring Side Hustler. One day I'd like to start a blog. Here it is, but I'm not sure how to do it.
I used to have a blog called Aspiring Pilots.
That's that's a good blog. Aspiring Website Builder. I think there's much more value in following builders rather than people that kind of talk about how to build a side hustle or build a blog. You should, if you thought about it in the sense of a ratio, you should be watching a higher ratio, consuming a higher ratio of like builders, like talking about, like, for example, if you're in the, I don't know, how to blog niche, like, actually that's a terrible niche. If you are in the niche of, say, pets, then you should be watching other pet content creators creating content about pets and just like staying immersed and like watching what other people do more so than learning about how to build a side hustle, because it's the builders that actually do stuff and get stuff done and push the needle. Whereas like with the how to build a blog, it's like there's only so much you can learn. I don't know. It's like, I think it's, you're much more better off learning how to build and building rather than learning about how to run a side hustle, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I agree, but I'd kind of generalize it a bit more, or give a bit more leeway, I guess. I think there's value in learning about how to build a side hustle, but I think there's only value in learning so from somebody that's actually done it.
Hmm.
Like both of us run blogs that make considerably more than $1,000 a month, right? And there's people that start a blog and they make their first $50. And then they start a blog teaching about how to make a blog that makes $50 a month. And then that becomes their main business.
Yeah.
And like those people just stay away from them as far as possible because their only job is to sell their courses, right?
Yeah.
So I just prefer to, and it's pretty easy to tell who's kind of legit and who's just teaching for the sake of teaching. And whether it's YouTube, whether it's podcasts, whether it's blogs or courses, which we'll talk about next, to me, the number one criteria is just follow somebody that's actually done it, not somebody that's talking about how to do it without having any sort of practical experience.
Yeah, I agree with that. I guess like to put it in another term, in a world of Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniaks, I think you would do better to pay attention to the Wozniaks, if that makes some sense.
Yeah, I think both are important, but I guess the thing is more than thinking about being Steve Jobs or being Steve Wozniak or whatever. I feel like everybody wants to be Steve Jobs because Steve Jobs looks cool. But at the end of the day, to do the side hustle and to get started, especially when you can't hire anybody or like when you're the only one doing everything, you also have to do a lot of the stuff that's not as cool on the surface, but it's really driving the thing forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't learn just about the shiny stuff from the shiny people, but also kind of dive a little deeper and try to understand whether the person that's teaching you is only really good at telling you the fact that they can teach you the problem, or if they can actually teach you the solution to the problem. Like, are they just some fake guru, or are they a real person with real experience, with real insights to share?
All right. So what about next on courses? Can you learn from courses? Have you ever taken any courses on how to do a side hustle?
No. So I haven't, but I think it really depends on your personality. Like, if you prefer somebody to give you a recipe that says, A, do this, B, do this, C, do this, D, do that, and you like kind of learning in a structured way, I think courses can be really good. And like, people are hesitant to spend like $500 or something on a course. But if that's the way you prefer to learn, and if following that course helps you start a side hustle that makes $1,000 a month, let's say, which is not too challenging if you kind of follow some sort of process that's solid, then it's more than worth it, right? You make it back in a month, essentially. Yeah. Personally, I don't like courses. I've bought some in the past, but I've never finished them all. I just like kind of the spontaneity and just looking around different blogs, following different blogs and quicker pieces of content that are kind of isolated. And then I like doing the connecting of the dots myself rather than following somebody else's full blueprint.
Yeah.
How much?
I've never taken a course on how to do a side hustle. I mean, I've bought courses on, for example, how to do ads, how to run ads, how to buy ads. I've taken copywriting courses, but that was not so much for a side hustle as it was for my own personal development, for my own career.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think, yeah, I feel maybe it's arrogant of me to say, but I feel like from what's presented on the market currently, there's not much else for you to learn, there's not much for you to learn in the how to build a side hustle space. I think doing it on your own and trying to figure it out and getting little help along the way is a much better approach to learning anything. Not anything, but at least in the case of side hustles.
All right. Let me rephrase that in less arrogant way. Yeah. I think it really depends on where you are. Because I feel like, and listening to your story and my story, I think we both kind of learned the things gradually, like a thing here, a thing there, and like maybe you learn something from a friend, maybe you learn something from blog posts, and kind of you consume the content gradually.
Yeah.
And I feel like when that's the case, like in your or my situations, it's like when you go into a course, you feel like you already know 99% of it. And like you feel like you're waiting for that 1% of new information, which can get kind of boring, I guess. And does that describe somewhat?
You're trying to look, like, at that point, you're kind of looking for like a little extra detail that maybe you might have overlooked, or some little thing that'll push you an inch closer.
Exactly. And I kind of feel like it's easier to dig that out of a blog post or out of a podcast that's 30 minutes rather than out of a course that's 6 hours and 5 hours and 50 minutes of that are stuff that you already know.
Yeah.
But that said, I think if somebody's listening to this and they've never even tried something similar, or they've never even worked in like business, maybe it's a student that's listening to this, or maybe it's somebody that's worked, I don't know, as a cashier or something. Then for somebody like that, I feel like if they buy a course or something that's more comprehensive and takes them from A to B in like a real comprehensive way over 6, 10, 12, 15, 20 hours, I feel like it can be really valuable.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we are just a different type of market because, we've done this stuff on our own. We figured it out on our own. So we are not the ideal target audience for those people anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it also depends on the personality of the person, because some people just kind of like to read here and there and kind of pick up bits and pieces and then just connect the dots,
mm-hmm.
whereas other people like their dots connected for them, and they just prefer to pay whatever 300 400 500 bucks and get this entire course that gives you all you need. Like you watch this course, and I believe the guys from Income School and the guys from Authority Hacker have pretty good courses on how to start a niche site, how to start a content site, and I know they have a lot of like genuine fans and genuine good reviews and people that have actually succeeded being part of their community. And I feel like in those cases, it can be really helpful. So I would never discourage anyone listening to not get a course. I would just encourage everyone to, and I guess it applies overall, but to think what's the best way for them to learn. Some people like to learn by doing. Some people like to jump right in. Mm-hmm. Some people like to learn from courses, from YouTube video series or whatever. And I think it's up to whoever's listening to choose which is better for them. But I think the key at the end of the day, which kind of brings us to the last point that we have here, is that at the end of the day, until you start doing something, you will always have some sort of information, mm-hmm. but you will never have put it into practical use, right? And I feel like it's like if you have a PET bottle on your table, like let's say a meter away from the ground, it has some potential energy, right? Like there's energy sitting inside it. But unless you knock the bottle off the table, that energy is not released. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the doing part is where you release the energy that kind of accumulates as you learn things.
Yeah, agreed.
Like it's like a to give another analogy, it's like having a dam with like millions of liters of water inside it, but then never opening the door to actually release the water and generate electricity.
So the best way to learn, again, depending on your personality, but the best way, at least for me, to learn is to actually do it. Rather than read about it or read and apply. I don't know. It's very, I think that's the part where you have to kind of know yourself first before you jump into any of these resources and know how you work.
Yeah.
And then pick one that kind of aligns with your style.
Exactly. Yeah. I think one really interesting thing about, and this just for those that haven't picked it up, this is our sixth way of learning, which is learning by doing. And I think the one interesting thing is that all the ones that we talked about before were really optional. Like you can learn from books, you can learn from blogs, you can learn from podcasts, you can learn from YouTube, you can learn from courses, and you can learn from one of them, from all of them, from none of them. But if you want to do some sort of side hustle, then it's a prerequisite to learn by doing. Like that's the only thing that you can't avoid doing, right? Out of all this we talked about.
Yeah, I agree.
And that kind of is, I guess, also a reason of just starting to do it as soon as possible. Like you see these people that just kind of keep kicking the goalpost further. Like, oh, I'll start a blog when I learn this, or I'll start a blog when I read about this sort of thing, or I'll start a blog after I watch this course, and they just kind of keep kicking it further and further because they're like, oh, I still don't know this, I still don't know that.
And then it's either logo.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, just start. And that's the best learning process, and that's the best.
It's the only learning process. Well, again, I don't want to speak in extremes, but like the fact that it's the more and more, you know, like the more and more I think about it, there always has to be, you know, there's consumption and there's production, input and output in anything that you kind of do.
Yeah.
And if it's consumption alone, I think it's never going to be learned. You can argue that, yes, the information is lodged in your brain and maybe you don't have to use it now and eventually it'll come to you. But if it's something that you got to act on sooner than later, like you absolutely must produce as well as consume. Because without production, then there's no application. Like, I think the brain learns a lot better when you're actually fiddling with this stuff rather than when you're reading about it. Because when you're reading about it, you're in a vacuum. You're in a safe vacuum where nothing is happening and just kind of absorbing information as to how it happens and how it's done. But yeah, that can never replace the actual doing.
Exactly. And I think here is where it's kind of getting a bit like a rant, but it's essentially it's like you can read all you want and like it's all theory at the end of the day, right? I can read that a guy posted 300 articles on his blog and within half a year, he started making $500 and within a year, he started making $3,000 a month or whatever. But it's like, until I do that, I will never know that, yeah, maybe he started making $50, but then maybe a Google algorithm hit him and he went back to zero. So he started again. And there's just like so many unexpected things. Especially if you're working online where things are changing every day, it's like you just kind of got to do it to learn it practically.
So, Keishi, next question. How did we do it? How did you do it? How did you learn how to have a side hustle?
That's a good question. I think all of the methods, but at the end of the day, when I look back, it's just I was just looking at some of my really old websites a few weeks back. And it's like when I look at them, they're terrible.
Yeah.
But they've been like 13 years ago, 14 years ago. And it's like, I've always been just tinkering with stuff, right?
Yeah.
Start a site here, start a site there. And
but by the way, that's why I say you should be looking at the builders and the tinkerers, because they're the ones that are, I think the more you build, the more likely you're to come up with something that's actually going to take off.
Yeah, because it's, I think eventually you realize two things. I think one is with a lot of these things, the strategy is really simple. Just find what works and just repeat it.
Yeah.
It's like you can watch a 20-hour course that will kind of give you the tactics. But at the end of the day, if we want to have a successful content site that's kind of built on the model that I build my sites on, or like FatStacks blog guy and a lot of other people build their sites on, it just comes down to just publish a lot of content, just write a lot of articles. So all you do should be just centered around that. And like there's really no secrets. I mean, there might be secrets. You might find some group of keywords that's really good to target and that nobody's targeting. But again, we're getting back to, yeah, but we're also getting back to, you got to do it to know what you got to do next. Like you just got to pick a starting point. And you got to learn from books and from blogs and whatever things that you need to move from the starting point to the next step. But from there on, it's kind of just like throwing stuff at the wall. With some sort of intent, with some sort of reason, but essentially just seeing what sticks in terms of what works and what's profitable, and also what works for you. Because if Yuri likes dropshipping and is selling you cars on dropshipping, that doesn't mean that that's the right thing for you to do. It's definitely worth trying it, but maybe it's better for you to run a blog or to be a YouTuber, to start a podcast. So how about you?
I think in that sense, I'm also similar to you. I've been kind of tinkering with things. I think when I was like 13 or 14, I got hit by a car. And so like I spent the first semester of high school at home. I didn't go to school. Well, I had like homeschooling or home teacher, like not actual homeschooling, but like a teacher would come. But so I was alone on my own a lot of the time. And like I was building websites on Geocities, I think it was called. Just around, like, yeah. Basically because I was alone, all alone, and like spent a lot of time on the internet, I was reading ghost stories and like, you know, stories about the Bigfoot and Loch Ness. And then like, after reading all of that, I decided to like post that kind of stuff on my own Geocities page. I was still young, so whatever. I don't believe in that stuff anymore. But like, I was tinkering then, and then I came back to tinkering some more in college, where I started, you know, the Japanese blog that I told you about. Yeah. So there's always some kind of tinkering involved. And then with the language stuff, I think it's, of all the stuff that I've been tinkering with, it's the one that I've stuck with and with the one that I saw results with, which is why I continued to stick with it. By results, I mean, I started seeing traffic grow. Yeah. And when you start seeing traffic grow, kind of like the next step is you add something that helps you monetize the blog. And now you have a side hustle, like a profitable side hustle going. So it was, I think it was as simple as that. I was also like consuming a lot of material, like I said, Mixergy, you know, listening to startup stories. But I think that's about it. It was just like tinkering for a very long time and kind of like listening to stories to just keep the story going, keep the fire or motivation. I don't know what it was, whatever you want to call it, in the back of my head. And at the same time, playing around with it on my own.
Yeah, actually, it's interesting because you mentioned seeing the traffic grow. And actually thinking about it, I feel like that's the most difficult part to learn. And that is to avoid the shiny object syndrome and to just be patient, because a lot of these things take time, right? It's not like you publish a post today and tomorrow you're making $20 an hour or a day without doing anything.
Yeah.
And I feel like the wait is the most difficult part, just because I think people are used to seeing results after they take some action, right? So you go to work for a month, you get your paycheck, you hit the wall, and then there's a hole in the wall.
Or you post a photo on Facebook and you get 50 likes and you're like, oh, or Instagram. And that feels like you got some results.
Exactly. And now imagine hitting the wall and there being no hole, but then like 5 years later, the entire house falling apart because of that one blow.
Yeah.
And I think that's what like building a blog or building any sort of business or side hustle can feel like. And looking back, I guess what drove me the most at the end of the day, now that I kind of think back to it, is just like reading different people's income reports and case studies, because those are really the things that can kind of transfer the practical knowledge to you in a way. Because like you see somebody's posting their report every month, and it's like a reality show that's kind of dragged out.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of like simple blog posts are kind of a condensed version. I feel like following somebody's income reports for months, or like just binge reading a year worth of income reports in an afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like that kind of gives you the sense of the scale of time that we're talking about here. And that kind of gets you ready for the fact that, hey, you're not going to be a multimillionaire tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly fine. Just be patient, right?
I mean, but yeah, with the concept of a side hustle is like, chances are you're not going to be a multimillionaire for quite a while, even with the side hustle. So it's like, probably if one wants to learn how to start a side hustle, they should also take into consideration that they should manage their expectations and aim for the moon. Or at least not aim for the moon just yet.
Yeah, I mean, they can. I disagree with that. I think they can aim for the moon, but they can expect to be there tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good. That works because it rhymes. You can aim for the moon, but don't expect to be there tomorrow afternoon.
I have to trademark that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this statement has now been trademarked. Please contact sidehustlesandstuff.com attorneys for rights and usage.
But yeah, exactly. I think at the end of the day, just managing expectation and learning how to do that is probably one of the most important things you can in your side hustle journey, or I guess in your life in general.
And that's why I like kind of this, or generally I like work, where I kind of like, because my work kind of embodies this spirit of let's throw out a minimal viable product or a minimal viable process, and you know, obviously let's not worry about perfection. Let's do a basic plan, throw it up. Put it in action. Let's let it run for like X amount of time. Let's review the stats and let's figure out how we can get to the next step. And it's like, so there's a lot of assumptions in there. First, you assume that it's not assumptions. There are a lot of like expectations, kind of like you have to expect not to get results instantly. You should be fine with the fact that it's not going to be perfect. You should also expect that it's going to take a while and you have to reiterate. But there's a lot of like little underlining rules and unspoken rules that you have to follow.
Yeah.
And I think once you kind of got them down, you apply this process everywhere and, you know, you're no longer like fretting over stats, because, you know, like a lot of it is just the time and effort put together. And you know that you're never going to get it right on the first shot, and you probably won't get it right on the second or third shot. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I think that we should come up with another podcast of the unspoken rules of how to get a side hustle up and running without worrying about stats too much.
I need that compulsive stats checker.
Yeah, I don't check my stats. Like maybe once a week I'll check them.
Yeah, I'm just worried. Like my biggest worry is that I don't check stats for like 3 days and I realize that the site's been down for the last two.
But can't you get like a widget or like some sort of plugin that emails you if the site is down?
Maybe I should look into that.
That way at least an email will come to you and be like, hey, your site is down.
I wonder if you can set analytics to send you an email of this is how many people come to your site like every evening at 7 p.m.
I think you could do that. Not analytics, but there's definitely like you can definitely set up an alert like that.
I feel like that might help my slot machine tendencies. Yeah.
I just check every week. I'm like, oh, my traffic is down. Oh, my traffic is up.
Okay, so so that's kind of how we did it. Do we wanna go over some of the things before we finish the podcast? Do we wanna go over some of the things that that kind of apply to all of the previous methods in general that we think aware of?
Yeah. So listeners, if you haven't started your own side hustle just yet, and you're aiming to, and you're just itching to start, just before you jump in, there are a few things that you should be aware of while you're listening to whichever guru, while you're following whoever's podcast, whether it's ours or someone else's. There are some things to keep in mind. First one is, what works for them might not work for you. Keishi, can you explain that a bit?
Yeah, I think that's what I mentioned before when I said, let's say for you, it's affiliate that works. For me, it's ads that work. And sometimes they tell me, oh, you should look for more affiliate deals. And sometimes they tell you, hey, you should put ads on your side. Mm-hmm. But it's like everybody has different preferences, right? So if somebody's selling you a business model that relies on display ads and Google traffic, and somebody else is selling you a business model that relies on Pinterest and affiliate, chances are that for you, the ideal one is a business model that relies on Pinterest and Google ads, right? Mm-hmm. So don't just take somebody's blueprint and apply it step by step. I mean, you can do that in the beginning to kind of figure out if it works for you. But don't be afraid to make modifications, and don't think that whatever somebody says is set in stone. Like,
yeah,
if somebody tells you this is the only and the best way to do this, they're 100% wrong, but there's also 100% right. Yeah, just look for what works for you. Don't be afraid to experiment, but at the same time, don't just jump around from.
Yeah. Next thing to be aware of: people presenting revenue numbers but no profit. In other words, if you see an advertisement of some side hustler saying, "I made $1 million in sales in one day," or something along those lines, but they don't include the actual costs and profits, stay away from that.
Yeah, exactly. And especially in like capital intensive businesses. So if somebody's talking about building content site, then oftentimes the only expenses are like paying writers and hosting. Mm-hmm. But even then, I would just listen to those that actually say, hey, this is how much I made and this is how much I spend on content. But if it's something like dropshipping, where you buy a product and then sell you, or like flipping on eBay or something, then it's really important to know how much they spend on ads and how much they spend on inventory to really know whether their business is sound, or to know whether they're only saying they made $1 million because in revenues because they made a negative profit because they made a loss. Like, everybody can make $1 million in sales if they buy a million of $10 things and then sell them for $1 each, right? Mm-hmm. You make $1 million in profit and $9 million in loss.
Yeah.
So be wary of people that only present profit. Be wary of people that only present revenues without profit or other metrics.
Next up, things to be aware of. Remember, there is no get rich quick, and avoid buying any silver tool, silver bullet, magical one system that works for everyone, or any gold standard blueprint for success that someone has finally discovered after years and years of tinkering. There is no one silver bullet method.
Added another upcoming course that we're working on.
Oh, yeah. I've been working on it while we were talking.
Just kidding. Yeah. As we said, you can aim for the moon, but don't expect to get there tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah. And don't buy things that promise you the moon, too. That's how you can spot marketing BS.
Exactly. Like, if somebody's trying to and I think a very good side hustle to mention here is trading stocks or trading options. And I'm sure you see a lot of these ads saying, hey, do you know how I turned $10,000 into 2 million 5 months? And they'll try to tell you it's because they've been really good at trading, but the answer is very likely they've been really good at selling BS courses.
Yeah. Right. Next up, no one side hustle is ever, ever passive. So unless you have $10 million in a bank and you earn interest on that, or unless you buy some stock and you earn dividends, which is, you'll get some passive income from that. But that aside, all side hustles require upfront work. None of it is ever truly passive. All requires work, whether now or you have to put in 1 year of work upfront now until you start seeing, you know, profit. But there's no such thing as a set it and forget it system. You can't buy a website from someone and then now that their website exists, people just magically come to it. It never works that way.
Long term.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything decays. So, again, I think both you and I, we can take a weekend off and go travel somewhere and make the money we spend on traveling back while we're traveling, which is really nice. But then also, if we don't get back to actually working on our sides or working on our stuff, then over time it will just decay, right?
Yeah.
Nothing lasts forever unless you maintain it.
Yeah. Plus there's other people that also start their own websites that choose to compete with us. And, you know, so it's never, you're never going to stay around long term unless you work on it.
Exactly. It can be asynchronous. It can be leveraged. Like you can put 1 hour of work and earn more than many people are making a week, and it's compounding. So the more you work, the kind of easier it gets, but it's never passive and it's never lasting forever.
I actually have a friend that once told me that he bought an affiliate website, and he asked me to look at it. And like, I guess he bought it from Flippa, I don't know. But the site had like a bunch of reviews of various get rich quick products and weight loss programs. And I think he didn't really put much thought into that. And he was just running off of, let me buy one of those affiliate marketing websites that make money on their own. And of course, you have people that build websites like this to sell it for a profit, even if it doesn't really make much money. They just say it's ready to go.
Flippa's full of scams.
So I guess that also just goes back to show, you know, like you might see something advertised, oh, it's going to be at passive. This website already has like 100 articles written on the top niches like weight loss and money making. And it's ready to grow. You just have to buy it and advertise it. But again, it's not as easy as it. You can't buy it and suddenly on day one or day two, you have money rolling in.
Yeah, to just add an asterisk there. You can, but it's not going to be cheap.
Well, it's not going to be cheap. All right, next thing to be aware of. Don't jump around from model to model. Keishi, can you explain that?
Yeah, I think probably mentioned it like a dozen times throughout this podcast because I think it's really important. And I know a lot of people struggle with this. I guess I kind of struggled with it too in the beginning, where I would just start a blog and then not care about it, start another one because I thought it's better and so on and so forth. But yeah, at the end of the day, like I mentioned before and like you mentioned as well, it just a lot of the work is repetitive at the end of the day. It's just picking one strategy. I wouldn't even call it the right strategy because there's so many right strategies.
Yeah.
I would just call it picking one strategy and sticking with it.
Sounds boring. Doesn't sound exciting. Doesn't sound sexy, but that's what it is.
Yeah, unless the money starts rolling in. Because once the money starts rolling in, then you just want to know how you can scale the thing. And that's a whole new challenge, right?
Yeah.
But there's got to be periods of boring for you to get something exciting.
So. Yeah. You know, sometimes I'll look at my Google Analytics for like, see if I can come up with an inspiration of like the next article that just might change everything for me. And, you know, like once in a blue moon, those ideas come to you and it works. But for the most part, you're better off kind of just putting in more work and doing something, just keep it going rather than hoping for that magic bullet or like that lightning in a bottle type of idea that comes to you every once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like with, I think it's like with investing. So there's people that try to trade stocks and try to make some money over what they would have if they let the money sit in the market. Mm-hmm. And there's certainly some people that make money that way. For most people, it just put the money there and let it sit is the best strategy, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's the same here. It's like, just choose one, stick to it, and keep doing it. Because every time you start something, it's like another one of analogies today. But it's like if a rocket goes into space, like the portion where it spends the most fuel or all fuel is just getting out of the atmosphere, right?
Yeah.
And then once it's in the orbit, it just keeps going and going and going. And I feel like this is the same way with side hustles or with blogs. It's like every time you try to start something new, and this is why it's called launching a business, right? It's like it takes a lot of energy, a lot of effort to get to cruising altitude or to get into orbit. But once you're there, it gets, I guess you could say, relatively easier to maintain it. And like if you just keep jumping from idea to idea to idea to idea, it's like you're launching these rockets that like fly up 5 kilometers and then fall down and fly up 5 kilometers and fall down and never reach the orbits.
Yeah. That's a very good analogy because I think, yeah, like you said, in the case of space flight, it takes, there's that huge, massive rocket that everyone sees, you know, like that's the space shuttle is attached to or whenever they use a space shuttle. And that whole thing is designed just to get the shuttle into orbit, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a rocket is like a giant fuel tank with a tiny, tiny, tiny capsule at its top, right?
Yeah. So that whole thing is devoted just to get the damn ship out, just to get the damn ship out of like Earth's gravity.
Yeah, exactly. And to stay on the, to kind of stay on and off topic, I really recommend everybody to watch some of the SpaceX launches. It's really amazing. And the one thing that SpaceX did differently than all the previous rocket companies, other than to some extent the space shuttle or the previous space vehicles, that they can reuse the fuel thing, essentially, right? The stage one booster.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like once you get to the stage where you can actually launch a business or where you can launch a block, then you can take all that you learned, which would be that stage one, and reapply it to a different block. But unless you learn it first from the beginning to the end, then you'll always just keep going up and down, up and down, up and down, without ever reaching sort of true potential, whatever it is that you're trying to do has.
Yeah. All right. And next thing to be aware of, well, I guess we covered it in multiple ways. At the end of the day, you just have to do it.
Yeah, it's the most important part. Nobody's ever gotten rich from reading books. Other than, I guess, if you have them in your garage, then it works. But for us mortals, it doesn't work.
Yeah. And my last one of things to be aware of is to avoid breadcrumb BS. Now, you might wonder, Yuri, what is breadcrumb BS? It's not my term. I stole it from someone else. I think it was in regards to online marketing articles and just like people creating online courses to teach you something. But the way in which they proceed is like they'll draw out a tiny little detail into like a 2,000-word post or a 30-minute video. For example, how to make a logo, how to start a blog. A lot of these things are tiny little breadcrumbs. They're feeding you breadcrumbs one at a time, and they're stretching them out to the point where it's not worth your time. So if you come up across an article that says, here's how you post on Pinterest, and it's a 2,000-word article, that is not worth your time and effort, because like you should be able to learn that in a minute or less. So definitely avoid, it's hard to avoid it, but if you're going to take a course on how to start a side hustle, if they're hanging on for too long on a certain theme, then they're probably just, you know, giving you breadcrumbs along the way. It's like in the language learning example, it's like taking a month to learn the alphabet. The alphabet does not take a month to learn. It takes a week or less.
Unless it's the Chinese one.
Oh, that's true.
Or the Japanese.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with the Japanese one, like hiragana and katakana are in all college courses are learned in 1 week.
Yeah.
But, you know, kanji is a whole different story. But you should definitely watch out if there's a whole episode dedicated to logos and it's like over 5 minutes long or even 3 minutes long, then understand that, you know, some things are not worth that amount of time, and you should just get it done and jump in and finish it up. Like if it's, you just get whatever logo up and done and move on. If there's like a 10 minute video on like how to promote on social media, if they're just talking about posting on Facebook and that's 10 minutes, that's not worth your time.
Yeah. A disclaimer here, Yuri's websites don't have logos and they make nice amounts of money.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing to be aware of is like, in the space of how to learn side hustle, how to build a business, this place is, I'd say, 99% or 100% populated by marketers and people that are making money off of you learning how to build a side hustle. So be careful in that sense. Just because someone is teaching you how to start a side hustle doesn't mean they're a good teacher, even if they're successful.
Yeah, couldn't agree.
All right. Any other insights that we want to leave them for today?
No, I think the insight is... learn the minimum viable amount and then just do it and learn along the way it arises.
Yeah. And I guess that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into the 26th episode of the Side Hustles and Stuff podcast with Keishi and Yuri. If you do want to start your own side hustle and start a website, visit the show notes at sidehustlesandstuff.com/E26. Check out Bluehost. It's where you can buy a website and get your project rolling out into the world. Unfortunately, we do not have any courses to teach you on how to build a website or start a side hustle. But if you do want to check out the tools that we mentioned, the books, the websites, the podcasts, the YouTubes, the vlogs, we'll list them all in the show notes, which are again at sidehustlesandstuff.com/26. And thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Yep. See you next week. And remember, aim for the moon, but you can get there tomorrow afternoon or even by the next episode.
Let me speak a bit so that maybe it adjusts to me first. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, try now. Jesus Christ. Let me drink a sip of water. Thank you for tuning into the 26th episode of the Side Hustles and Stuff podcast with Keishi and Yuri.